to the Columbia Center for Spiritual Living, a welcoming and diverse community whose vision it is to contribute to a world that works for everyone. The inspirational message you are about to hear will expand your idea of what is possible in life right now and affirm your soul's knowing in taking that right next step towards your greatest good.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, wherever you are on planet Earth tuning in, either in this particular moment or some moment in the future. Good morning. I am Reverend Rafe Ellis, and I am so honored and privileged to be the senior minister and spiritual leader at Columbia Center for Spiritual Living in my right and perfect place. Let's take a breath together. So last week, we explored the tyranny of the or, how we negate infinite possibility by narrowing ourselves to only two possibilities. And we talked a little bit about the story in the Bible of the Tower of Babel and the confusion. And I just want to reiterate there that perhaps the confusion, one of the things that I brought forward is that the tower, rather than using stones and mortar, which were the building supplies of that time, they made bricks, which were all identical. And they use tar instead of mortar, which is a very substandard product, if you will, comparatively, because mortar, which is actually made from aspects of the very stone it's holding together, versus tar, which is fluid and never really completely holds things together. It's very temporary. And so perhaps part of the lesson there that we get to take away is that the natural expression of creation is differences, and that the strength of a thing is in the differences, and that what binds them together is a coming together of the commonalities, and that our any desire to create and build a temple, to build a tower, to create a supremacy of sameness, creates tremendous confusion. Look familiar? Sound familiar? And so, remembering that, today we're going to explore the genius of the ant. Now, scientifically, most of us are aware that the majority of the universe is actually space. And many scientific reports would have us relate to that as empty space. And I submit to you that rather than empty space, we are actually perhaps surrounded by infinite possibility. That all of the space that we're swimming in is filled with pure, untapped potential. Untapped potential. And that the way we find that, the way we begin to explore that, is through this little word called and. This is what I'm experiencing. And what else is here? Whatever it is that we're experiencing, how do things around us, how does our mindset, our attitude, how does everything change if we simply ask the question, and what else is here? What else is here that I'm not seeing? And what else is here that I am seeing and rejecting? And what else is available to me? When we're hit those places in life where it seems like a complete dead end, where we're frustrated, where we're overwhelmed, perhaps simply pausing and asking ourselves, and now what? And really mean it instead of, and now what? That where the and now what is actually seeking an answer to a premeditated next disaster. But what if we shift that to, and now what? Really inviting the brilliance and the genius of infinite possibility into our experience. It's a different paradigm to live in. And it requires us to wrestle with some of our misconceptions, if you will, of different ways that we relate to life, different ways we relate to one another. This whole month, we've been talking about paradox, and I want to remind us of the primary definition of paradox is this: a seemingly absurd or self-contradictory statement or proposition that, now here's the kicker for me, that when investigated or explained may prove to be well-founded or true. Most of us, in my experience, including myself, we have a tendency to stop at the a seemingly absurd self-contradictory statement or proposition. We just stop there. And so holding paradox that just keeps us in the seemingly absurd becomes very challenging. If we open ourselves to the second part of that definition, that when investigated or explained may prove to be well-founded or true. Now we're stepping into possibility thinking. And when we really understand the spiritual power of possibility, that we are each infinite possibility in form, dare I submit to you that we can actually live in probability. See, it's one thing to live in infinite possibility, the infinite maybe, the infinite what if, but what if we actually leaned into the infinite must reveal? Must reveal. Ernest Holmes said this, and we relate to healing. I'm going to caveat this with an understanding and an articulation that we as a human race relate to the word healing in an infinite number of ways, right? Many of us think of healing purely on the physical realm, and we're actually talking about cure. This is what Ernest Holmes says about healing, and it's where I continue to anchor and invite you to anchor. A true healing is the revealing of truth. A true healing is the revealing of truth. And if you understand our teachings, he goes on to talk about throughout all of his writings that we are truth in form, that that is the nature of our being, that we are infinite truth. And so is everybody else. In the 1926 edition of The Science of Mind, Ernest Holmes says this: "We hold no arguments over any form of theology. We believe in any and every church and in all forms of worship. Above all, we certainly believe in God, but we will not allow anyone to tell us how to worship God, nor compel us to worship in any way other than the way we choose." We reject the theory that the truth has been once and for all time given, and that it cannot be added to nor taken from. We know it to be true that the truth, but we also know that no one so far has arrived at a complete understanding of truth. We expect more light along the line, and we repudiate any belief that says that all truth has been given. And here's a really powerful statement. He continues, we know that the authority of man, mankind, humanity, is in most cases an assumption and not a reality. And we refuse to be hypnotized into believing in any one man-made mandate. And I submit to you that Ernest Holmes believed that even about his own writings. He called us to be open at the top, that he understood that he only knew what he had come to know, and that there was always more, always more. I invite you to consider that there are answers in every theology. There are answers in every philosophy. There are answers in every psychology. There is some degree of truth in every thought, and that perhaps it is the assumptions of the framework that prevent us from revealing that truth. That, yes, even we have built a small container that excludes infinite possibility. And that what is available to us is to step out of that container and simply live in the and. This idea of paradox, one of the most brilliant quotes I've read comes from the author Karen Armstrong from her book Islam, A short history. And she says this, perhaps the central paradox of the religious life is that it seeks transcendence, a dimension of existence that goes beyond our mundane lives, but that human beings can only experience this transcendent reality in an earthly physical phenomenon. It's interesting, isn't it? We seek to go beyond without recognizing that we can only experience as this human form that we are. It's the both and. Rumi says it this way, in order to understand the dance, one must be still. And in order to understand stillness, one must dance. That if we're going to experience, if we're going to know, if we're going to reveal the truth of the wholeness of life, then we get to step into the both and. That we get to leave the either or behind and embody the both and. It doesn't mean we don't have feelings. It doesn't mean we don't have those moments where we wish this human experience to be different. And imagine how the whole of everything begins to shift and change and grow, just like what surfaced in the reading this morning. If we begin to understand that everything is happening in a harmonious operation of one, a harmonious operation of one. And so sometimes my discontent is moving me into harmony, that perhaps it feels dissonant because I have a limited understanding of harmony, that I have yet to understand that dissonance is a form of harmony. And that if we can begin to embrace, yes, this is what I'm experiencing, and there's more. When we lived in California, there's a warehouse. It's a food shopping warehouse. And their commercials were silly and yet brilliant, right? They had these little Muppet-type characters that had a banjo and some other instruments. And they would come on and advertise the sales for the week and then cut to these puppets, and they're all just dancing around singing, "But wait, there's more." And it is fixed in my head. And it's a delightful way to anchor into. So when I hit those walls, and I do, we all do, we hit those points where resistance is stronger than curiosity. I have these little Muppet critters in my head singing, "But wait, there's more." And I laugh. And then I open up to what else is here that I'm not seeing? What else is possible that I'm not even able to imagine because I'm seeing it all through past experience? And in order to get to my imagination, I have to step out of my past and stand in the land of I don't. No, I don't know. And to find comfort in knowing that while my humanity doesn't know that I am infinite truth in form, you are infinite truth in form. You are infinite intelligence in form. So everything we need to know already resides within us, just waiting for us to ask. What do I know that I am unaware that I know? To invite your human experience rather than trying to transcend. What if we just embraced that maybe the levels of separation that we've created in our mentality are an assumption? Maybe they're not as real as we've made them out to be. Maybe all of creation really is the original flat organizational paradigm, that everything exists at equal value, at equal level, and all we have to do is ask and listen and be open and trust. Not much to ask. And yet, it is our birthright. And so I invite you in this moment to set an intention for the week, to allow yourself to play in infinite possibility. What else is available to you? What else is available as you? Let's take this into prayer. And so what I know is that life itself is infinite possibility, unfolding itself perfectly, harmoniously in the operation of one. itself. I know that all life is that in form. I know that I am that. I know that every expression in the physical realm and everything that surrounds each expression in the physical realm is this one life. Infinite intelligence always offering itself to itself. This is the truth that is revealing itself in the mind and heart of every expression of life, each at its divine level of expression, being exactly what it came here to be, always in that space of curiosity. And now what? And now where? And. Grateful. Grateful to know that there is no final and. That all of eternity, all of the unfoldment of life is a continuous and glorious and. Grateful. And so in celebration of this and, in celebration of it unfolding its brilliance and magnificence beyond what my humanness can even begin to understand, I say yes. As I release my word into that activity of the unfoldment that knows exactly what it's doing, I release. I let it go, and I let it be, and so it is.
Thank you for listening. If you have received a value, we invite you to share this podcast and check out our website, columbiacsl.com, to sign up for our weekly newsletter, providing thought-provoking blogs and details on our upcoming classes and community events. And we always are pleased to hear from you. You can reach us at podcast@columbiacsl.com. Thank you. Blessings on your journey.